Well, hello there, all my Fearlessly Free listeners. I hope you enjoyed the last installment of Letter to the Church Player from a Man's Perspective. It was so juicy, right? Well, guess what? It's about to get even more juicier. Today, we talk about if a guy is complicit, if he doesn't hold his brother to account when he's treating us queens badly. We talk about why Christian men seem so timid when they approach us. We talk about the black man's struggle. We talk about what dating really looks like. It's about to get so juicy, juicier than your sweetest watermelon. So sit back, relax and enjoy. Okay, so it's questions from the ladies time. And Kyle, one of the questions that was put out there was, have you ever checked or corrected a player? And do you agree that men who don't are complicit?
I think I've got three sisters, so I've GC'd a lot of players or wannabe players to think they can start doing things to people in my life when I did the same thing when I was young that they're trying to do. So I think when I was doing it, I wasn't thinking about someone checking me. And in my peer group, really, I probably got egged on. You know, I probably got congratulated. I got awards, trophies, medals. But I think now looking at it, I've checked people that are close to me about how they're going about life just based on different things. So I'm like 34 and 35 this year. My friends are the same age and they're going out and doing these things with people that, with families that involve kids. And I think my own perspective is when I grew up, I was that kid that got passed around to different people's houses because my dad was like Casanova, like he's the ultimate player. And I saw that, I felt the impact of going to someone's house for 6 months, getting on with their kids, calling child, brother, sister, and the next week they're gone from my life and I'm on to the next one. And they don't mention Sarah, but we're going to see this house. I'm like, oh my God, this is too much for me. So now I think about, if my friends are doing that, I'm checking them. If you're my friend, you know my advice is real. My advice is blunt. If you don't like it, we're going to tell you. So, for me, my sisters, when they're in a relationship and they don't tell me, I can't check the guy that's moving different for them. So I think women need to start using the tools that they've got, and that's the people around you. So if my sister came to me, told me a little information that all the guys in this podcast know. Someone comes to you and says something, as a man, you're going to go, cool, this guy's trying to fit. Or, I don't really trust how this guy's moving. Let me meet him. Let me speak to him. And I'll suss him out. So if my sisters, I say, do I know him? You know, has my stepfather met him? Do we like him? That's a big thing of how he's moving. We can suss him out. What's his relationship like with his own family? Yeah, whether it's good or bad, it's how, it's whatever it is, it be real. If you ain't got a relationship with your family, then that's cool. But this, it gives me some more information on this person to decide, are you going to be my sister, my mom, whatever, for a long period of time? And I think one quote I like to always use is, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So if you stand by and let whoever you know do whatever they want, then you're a part of it as well. And right now, I'm checking you in it.
Anyone. Yeah, I love that quote. I love that. I think that sums up, that I think that basically just, answers the question about whether men who don't check players are complicit. I think the answer is, I would say so. Like, does anyone else have anything to say on that before I jump on to the next question?
Yeah, let me just jump in real quick here. Like, I just wanted to say this, Ricky, here. There's a level of ego that a lot of, and I'm going to say this quite boldly, insecure men have, that a man can't come and tell them anything, you know? And that's not even just men, but just anybody. Nobody can. You've grown your whole life, people telling you what to do, and now you're a man. Nobody's basically going to tell you anything. So those are the kind of men that you need to be weary of, and especially in me in particular. I've got a daughter. I don't want anybody, you know, messing with her naturally. But like, you get to a point in your life where, you know what, if I can't help you develop into and showing you the error of your ways, then we can't really click. We can't really flex. And you end up having a bunch of men that don't really have many friends around them, or real friends anyway, that can give them the business. And those are the kind of, those are the kind of men that end up giving the good guys out here, the good fellas, a bad name. You know, it's the ones that don't allow themselves to be checked. You have to have some sort of accountability. I agree. Man, if you haven't got that.
So, Ricky, the next question is for you. Can church players change? And what signs would you tell your sister to look out for?
Just to touch back on what I just said, like I believe it's possible for people to change, man. Because I wasn't always the person that I am. You know, I wasn't out there like a lot of these guys are. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I was a saint my entire life. So it is possible to change. It just depends on your level of personal development and how committed you are to being a good person and a new person. And show yourself the error of your own ways. So it is possible to change. It just depends how serious you are about your own personal development. Spending time alone, spending time with yourself, spending time with people that have gone where you've been, spending time with people that are where you're trying to go. It's all a part of learning and developing. And like you said earlier, Selena, you were talking about when you come out of a relationship, you want to spend some time alone. I've known people that have jumped from relationship to another, from marriage to another, you know, and quickly within a space of a year. And I'm like, yo, you got to spend some time alone and figure out who you are again, you know, and that doesn't happen a lot. So it is possible to change, but you have to be willing to be committed to developing yourself, and you have to be willing to give yourself the time to develop and be accountable and have people come and tell you, actually, you know, that's not really the runnings and that's not really going to work for you.
What signs would you tell your sister to look out for?
I would say definitely to look at the way that they respond to you in certain situations. So let's just say, for example, if you have been late for something, if you're going somewhere and you're late, notice how he's behaving when, you know, how irritable he is, or notice how he behaves when he's frustrated, or how he behaves when he's talking to his boys, because how the person that he is with his boys is not exactly going to be the same person that he is with you. Who he's talking to, where he's getting advice from, even down to the kind of music that he listens to, the people that he likes and he holds as, you know, a tier of a great man. You have to watch those types of things, and not necessarily to judge him based on them, but to just take note.
Yeah,
and give yourself an understanding of the kind of things that it could possibly be, you know, because some people can show you certain things about them, and that's not necessarily who or how they are. It's just that particular thing caused them to react in that particular way. So you have to then, if you're a supportive woman, you have to understand, okay, this triggers you. I need you to know that this triggers you, so you know how to deal with it differently. And that's how you develop and as a person, and how you help someone develop, rather than going, nah, I'm staying away from that. That's got nothing to do with me. If you're invested in this person,
I love that.
I was just gonna add something in there as well. Like, sometimes we don't even need to look for signs, or to the females out there, like, you don't even need to look for signs. Sometimes, I just feel like a lot of women, they know within themselves that this is not for me, but they will ignore it. And I always have a saying, like, the red flags you ignore at the beginning are the same red flags that will cause you to leave. Because you could clearly see it, you know, it's inconsistent. It does not text you at certain times. It doesn't call you at certain times. It blows you off on a date and this and this. Well, you start to make excuses for him, and it's just like, once you start doing that for a guy, the guy will take the mic, because it's like, well, because again, it goes back down to the whole holding themselves accountable. Because you're not allowing him to hold himself accountable, he's just going to keep doing it. And I think it was just that I said it to you, that a lot of women make it easy for a man to walk over them, you know. Like I said, making excuses for them, allowing certain things to slide.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, it's just early days, or it can change, or if I could do better. Nah, man, stick to your guns, stick to your institution. If something is off, 99.9% of the time, it is off. So that's the only advice I'll give. I'm like, at the end of the day, because I can say to you, look at these signs, or do this, follow this, do that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the individual. If you are with someone, or you get to know someone, and your spirits does not sit comfortable with them, like even with friendship,
true.
Like or when I meet someone, like if their vibes is not on the same wavelength, I'll still be like, hey, hi, but that's where it stays. You know, I'm not gonna start forcing things like, oh, maybe it's just me being too paranoid or just me being too careful. Nah, if my vibe does not vibe with you positively from the get-go,
yeah,
I'm not interested.
What are you talking about, first-hand or first experience of that
I feel
person?
Like a lot of the time, like me and Risha, like just because of how I am, and I like to think that God's got my back. So from the get-go, if I'm not feeling you, that's God telling me, yo, stay clear from this person. Because when it's that saying, give the devil an inch, it will take him out. So once you allow that person into your life, because you're like, oh, it's my first time, they can start to use that to manipulate you. And where you're thinking of, like maybe before, when your mind was clear, like, oh, this person's bad vibes, they'll start to manipulate you and you start to be like, oh, you're actually a cool person. Meanwhile, you're just giving them that little bit of room to do what they need to do.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
People that are hurt people. And what I mean by that is, they... In order to get over someone, they feel like that's the deal with someone, but then they haven't fully healed, and then the guy can see that as well, and then he exploits with that. And also, the advice I always give my female friends here is, never ever 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 tell the next guy you're dating how a previous guy done you dirty or
really what
it is, because you set the bar so low, because you're like, oh, my last guy, he never texted. It never called. So the guy is taking mental notes.
Is that true?
Okay, all I need to do is call. Okay, all I need to do is text more. Because you're telling him all the things that went wrong. So all he just has to do here is just that it's called a temporary fix. So all he needs to do here is just fix in that department that went wrong with your previous guy or your previous ex. So maybe the last guy he was not with was not affectionate, and you're an affectionate person, or he was not romantic. And so all he's just got to do is just show you all the things here that you never had in your previous relationship. So therefore, he's already got bonus points, because he's like, oh my God, all this thing that this guy never
is
did.
Is it?
This guy's doing it.
I've learned something today, guys.
You're basically going into a test here with the answers in front of you.
Wow!
Who's talking now?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, everyone the blueprint, you know. Honestly, seriously. This guy is writing it down now, going, oh, hey, Emmanuel's the guy, you know.
Let's deep it. Like, fam, I'm talking to a girl now,
you're keeping it real.
So what happened between you and your ex? And it's like, oh, it never did this, it never did that. I'm like, okay, so that's what I need to do to get to you? Calm, say nothing.
But if a man's serious, that could help him. You understand? So for me, it's like knowing that girl's love language. I understand how actually she receives love. So if you're telling me this, like, okay, cool, I understand that. No, this person did this. So therefore, I'm going to try to actually be like this just because I want you to actually feel good. I want you to feel loved the way you actually receive love. Mm. You understand? So I think it was. I don't know. It's... It has to be a balance of them.
I think that depends on the man and the individual then.
Because yeah, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Because if...
I understand that though. Like, I understand if you're getting to know someone. But what I'm trying to say is, don't give out details. Like, just say, like, because there's other ways for me to know you without having to know about your past relationships. If that makes sense. Because at the end of the day, me and you are making new memories. We're making new, like, it's a new relationship. So we could have that conversation. We can have that conversation, and that's why a lot of women always go, oh, why do I attract the same type of guys? Because you're giving them the answers like you're not. I don't understand. Like if you're making it easy for the guy. So even if the guy's not serious, or like, or the guy will not have to work. The guy will not have to work as hard as he needs to because he knows what he needs to do. If that makes sense, like it doesn't need to get to. It doesn't need to get to know you. He's just going by previous experience you've had. If that makes sense.
No, I learned to. Your girl, I learned today. I learned some things. Okay. Okay, yeah, all right then. Okay, so the next question, guys, is, and this is for any of you to answer, why are some men front with their motives? And I think Ricky kind of touched on it before in the previous, in his previous point. Is that to do with, like, them... kind of like in terms of like their insecurities, is there also as well, one of the ladies said, is because they feel intimidated. So I think when I spoke to one of the ladies, what they said about this particular question is that you've got the I'm not going to swear, but you've got the Dutty Bungle men that are not upfront with their motives because obviously they've got ill intentions. And then you've also got men who are not very forthright about, you know, their intentions and their feelings towards you because it may well be because, you know, they have insecurities, they feel intimidated. And that's one of the things that, yeah, if we can kind of like kind of honing on the intimidation bit, because I've actually been told by a few guys, like, this is years ago now, I mean, I don't really care now, but like guys have said, oh, Selena, you know, I feel a bit intimidated by you, do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh, man up, like, you know, like that, like, so I just think in terms of that, it's like there's two sides to that, because you've got the Dutty Bungle men, like the guys that mean no good, who... they're not upfront with their motives. And for me, I think I kind of know the answer to that, see, because, you know, the simple answer, long and short of that answer is obviously, you know, they just want to have their wicked way with you. Do you know what I mean? It's for their own selfish gain. But I think in terms of, like, you know, what about the guys that do have good intentions, but they're kind of scared to kind of put their, you know, shoot their shot, as they say. Like, what's that about? Because that, because when I was speaking to my friend, what she was saying was is that it just irks her. It's just like, it makes her frustrated, because it's just like where are you at? Like, what do you want from this kind of thing? Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyone want to kind of answer that?
I'm happy to jump in there. I think for me, when I was going about doing things that I suppose I'm not happy about now, I was always up front with women. So I could say, listen, we're going to see each other. There's no expectations, but I'm also seeing Susie. Mm. And I'll be honestly up front. And if the girl's like, okay, cool, then I'll go with it. If she's not, then that's fine. I'll go chat to Susie again. But I think for me, it wasn't about that. I was pretty secure in who I was. But I think guys that aren't up front is because they're playing a role. Like, if you're James Bond, you don't go out and go, hi, I'm a spy. You know, you go, you play the role, because you're not really invested in the relationship. You're getting what you need from it, and then you're going to bounce. Like, you're not really... like, you're not investing in the relationship like that. You're just getting what you need to get, and then you're getting out. I think what you said about that intimidated, I think when a guy is coming with full pretenses, you meet a woman that is fully... in control of themselves, know where they are, the guy thinks, boy, she's not the one for this game because she's going to play me. So I'm going to move on. Or listen to my rubbish. Now, if I meet a girl that knows who she is, I'm excited because I'm like, cool. So this person knows who they are. I know who I am. So then that's the type of person I want to be with. But if people are down there looking for different... like we spoke about before, about trying to... target people that not broken, but I know, okay, this person's probably going to take a little bit from me from previous experience or just from how what I'm saying to her and how she's responding. if people are going to bring that to you, they're going to get, they're going to find out in the first conversation. Yeah, Selena's not the one.
Yeah. 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 No, I agree. I think that. I think that also ties in with one of the next questions that I'm just going to put out there. Okay, so in reference to whether church players can change, Emmanuel, I would like to direct this question to you, as I know that you're an actor and you are also a musician in your church, which are both gifts that attract a lot of attention. So how did you find that? And what experiences or challenges have you faced along the way? Like, talk to me a bit about your journey, because, you know, as I know, for when I speak to like my female friends, the first thing that they speak about in terms of, you know, church musicians is that they're like, you've got to avoid them like the plague. So talk to me a bit about your experience.
Yeah. you know what? It's funny you say this, because every time I talk to someone new or trying to get to know a woman and I say that I'm a drummer, automatically it's like, oh no, we know all the stigmas that come with church drummers, all of this thing. Oh. And you know what? I'll hold my hands up. I was one of them in the past.
Okay.
Just because you didn't have to try so hard, you know.
Yeah.
You know, once you go on the drums and especially if you're very talented as well, and then after service, they're like, oh my God, you're amazing, you're this, you're that. And it's just, they're just naturally attracted to you. And then obviously, me being me, I'll be like, yeah, cool. And I'll just soak it all in. And not gonna lie, it has put me in some hot water in the past.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, you have to kind of like check yourself, like, especially when you're working in the house of the Lord, you have to question yourself. That the Bible verse that really got me was the those who worship him in truth and in spirit.
Yeah.
And it was just like, am I actually serving God, or am I just serving it just because I know it will get the ladies, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then obviously having my second child, which is my daughter, without going too much into details, I've got two kids with two different women. So that kind of like made me sit up straight. I'm like, okay, you know what? As a Christian, and especially my mom is a very devoted Christian. Like,
yeah.
If anything, I'm bringing shame onto her, because it's like, my mom is well known as this, you know, God-fearing woman. She's praying, she's there, she's that. And obviously her eldest is being raised up and is having kids everywhere, you know. So I was like, and that's what really kind of like shook me up. Like, okay, you know what? This is not the kind of lifestyle I want to be living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good look calling myself a Christian, being a drummer in the church and all of this. But I thank God anyway, because it's put me in a place now where I'm a youth leader in my church. Okay. And the young ones can learn from my experience.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, that saying goes, experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
So I can relate to them, and I'm open. I tell them, look, I've got two kids, two different women. I've been there, I've done it. So I don't sugarcoat anything, and I don't hide anything from them. And
yeah.
Being an actor as well, I mean, again, it has its perks, because it's like, oh my God, you're talented, you're this, you're that, you're this. But because of where I am now, or like my walk with God, I just kind of like, even with all my acting jobs, I try to keep it on the Christian path as much as I can.
Yeah.
As much as I can, and I thank God, because literally all my productions, my plays that I've been involved in, they've all been Christian productions, which I think came to the last one, and there was war.
Yeah.
So I try and keep within the alignment of God as much as I can.
Yeah.
So that way I keep myself in check as well, if that makes sense.
100%. 100%. You know, yeah. The Bible says that, you know, in Romans 8, that if we walk after the flesh, then we will reap death, as it were. And if we walk in the spirit, we reap life. And I think that, I think one thing about this Christian walk is that the moment that we take our eyes off the God of godly things, and we divert from biblical principles, and that's when, you know, it's so easy for us to just slip back into our carnal ways. And I think that, you know, I think it's beautiful that for you, what you've said and what I've taken from what you said is that, you know, you did get caught up in the attention, you know, of being a musician and you know, being an actor and so on and so forth. And, you know, a lot of women were drawn to you. And at one stage in your life, you know, you absorbed it and, it, you know, it took you down, you know, a few negative pathways and so on and so forth. But there was a turning point for you. And I think it's really good to hear that, in essence, you know, the answer to this question is that, yes, church players or, you know, who or men in the church who lead women on can actually change. But again, it's like what the guys have been saying, it's a choice. And you came to that point, you were at a crossroads. And, you know, that scripture speaks about in I believe it's in John, where Jesus says, you know, those who worship me worship in spirit and in, worship me in spirit and in truth. And that was the revelation for you. And I think that I want to just applaud you because you didn't have to do that. You know, God doesn't force us to obey his word. He places the word there and it's up to us to make a choice to walk in agreement and partnership with God. And I think it's beautiful that you were able to just say, do you know what, Lord, I repent. Let me turn away from those ways and allow you to renew me and convert me. I mean, what message would you say, would you give to guys who are where you once were? Like, what would you say to them today? For, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, if they were listening right now, what would you want to tell them?
It's just one of them ones here. It's you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, and when you're facing a problem, the more you're in denial, the more that problem will be there. So until you tackle that problem head on and be like, you know what, clearly my problem is our girls or sex or whatever it is, once you have to face that problem head on, and once you face that problem and you submit yourself to God and be like, look, God, okay, look, here's my weakness. This is me. Like, I can't do it by myself. I'm going to need you to help me. And surround yourself, yeah, with people that will help you change or help you grow. Because, you know, a recovering alcoholic here can't be chilling with an alcoholic.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not going to work. So you have to be with people. Like, even when you have a moment of weakness, they could be like, no, remember, you said you're going to change. You said this, you said that. And again, check your friends. If you're with the people that are constantly on about going on about talking about girls or trying to like get you involved in that lifestyle, again, that's not going to help. So all I can say is, number one, admit your fault and admit your problem. And then number two, just check your surroundings. You don't heal where you got sick. So
yes, 100%.
So you have to check your surroundings and put yourself in a better atmosphere. And it can be done. I'm not trying to sound too cliche or biblical, but it does say in the word of God that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah,
so,
100%.
So it's the key word there is through Christ who strengthens me. Not, oh, I've got the willpower or I can. No, you just have to submit yourself to God. I'm like, look, God, I'm going to need you to give me strength to see, like, I want to change. Like, help me, Lord. And it can be done. It can be done. And the advice I want to give to women as well, yeah, is if you do come across someone that's trying to change, you have to let them change. Don't let their past detect you. Like, don't let their past affect you, if that makes sense. Like, and I feel like that's where a lot of people go wrong as well, when they meet someone and they share their past and then that person starts to use their past against them, or like, oh,
okay,
once a cheater, always a teacher, or once this, always that. Like, can you really change? Have you really changed? And, you know, just what I mean, at the end of the day, like, we're not God. God, you know, God can judge us.
Yeah, 100%. I like that point. I like what you just said just there, because I think a lot of us as women, because we've been hurt and some of the wounds that, you know, some of these men have left us with are so deep and deep. And, you know, some of us are actually walking around with gaping wounds. We haven't healed and we're you know, I know some women who are still very much quite bitter. Mm. And so as a result of that, they're very much on the attack at all times when it comes to men. And as soon as they hear, you know, if a guy's a musician, or some people, if they hear, like, you know, the guy's a pastor or a deacon in the church, or, you know, anything remotely connected to the church, they're automatically put off.
Yeah.
And I just remember there was one time that the Lord said to me, and it was so clear. It's just one day, I think I was just, I think I probably, you know, as us girls do, you ladies listeners, you know, you can relate to this, but like, I was proper like cussing a man in my head. You know, when you had the full blown argument in your head, and God just, it was like, he just arrested me with his word, with this word. And he said, Selena, do not punish the one that I have chosen for you because of the ones that you chose for yourself. I did not choose them, you chose them. But there's one that I have chosen for you, and I don't want you to punish him because of what you've gone through. And that was kind of like the turning point for me. So I definitely, what you just said there really resonates with me, because I do believe that we can change, particularly us as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit. He's the one who regenerates. The word of God says how, you know, how the word washes us. So, yeah, you know, the more that we immerse ourselves in the things of God, in the Spirit of God, and the more that we immerse ourselves in the world, in the word, you know, we are, it's inevitable that we will change and become more like God. And I think also as well, as you were talking, I was reminded of Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, where it talks about when Jesus is having the conversation with Simon Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, you know, the devil has sought to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And he says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, and when you have been converted, when you've turned away from your sinful ways, when you change, that's when you can then go and strengthen your brothers. Yeah. And I think that's so interesting what you were saying, that, you know, you cannot heal where you became sick, because, yeah, you know, it's that whole thing of, I think, of all of us as men and women in Christ, we have to go through that conversion process. We cannot, you know, I don't think it's, you know, we're not strong enough. If you're in a process of healing or restoration, there might be parts of that journey where you're not strong enough to actually resist the very thing that you're being healed from. And so I think it's poignant. It's a poignant point that Jesus makes when he says, when you've been converted, it's only then that you can go back and strengthen your brothers. And, you know, I think it's a wonderful journey that you've been on, in that I think that you're testament of that, because, you know, you were once a certain way, a way that didn't glorify God in that particular area. And now, you know, you've been converted, you've turned away, you heeded that word that God gave you, that instruction, that word of discipline, and you turned away. And now you are the man of integrity that you are today, and on that ever-evolving journey. And you're here today being able to share a message and a word of encouragement. And I guess, you know, a word of encouragement to guys who are where you once were, to say, do you know what? If I've done it, you can do it. But it takes your willingness and your surrender to God to be able to change. So yeah, applause that. Well done for that, bruv. Like, well done. Yeah, all glory to God. Yeah, thank you. One thing I wanted to ask in relation to church musicians and stuff, just in particular, do you feel like, one of the questions that was asked was, do you feel like that, you know, when they get all of that attention, that it kind of feeds into maybe very well hidden insecurities? Or do you feel like, is it an issue of insecurities, or is it just a thing of, like, you know, it's pride and ego, and ego's being boosted? Is it as deep as, I've got insecurities, and so I'm just going to take you for this ride because it's filling a void, it's scratching an itch? Or is it a case of, you know, you're just feeding my ego right now, you're boosting my ego? Or maybe it could potentially be a bit of both.
I mean, I can't speak for every musician out there.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just like this. Like, I don't know. It's a great. I don't even know. The honest truth of the matter is, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, it was just because the attention was there. Mm. The attention was there. I loved the attention. I loved the girls, and mm-hmm. it was like, yeah. I mean, my element.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, even if you're not interested, it's just like the fact that the option is there.
Yeah.
You know, like, might as well. Like, you know, when you're not hungry, but the food is there. Just eat the food.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what it was.
Mm.
In terms of, like, is there anything deeper? Maybe, in the sense of, like, you know, you've got attention, you're seeking attention. Mm. And for me, you know what, I'll be honest here, I feel like there's a bit of insecurities in there. Because when I was younger, I was bullied in school.
Okay.
But I wasn't bullied by boys, I was bullied by girls. And like, when I said bullied, I wasn't bullied in the sense of, like, give me your lunch money, but more of, like, under, like, my glow up here didn't come to, like, I'll say... I'll probably say, like, after uni, like,
yeah.
Like so I was like, you know, I was more exactly like the good looking lad.
Mm.
But amongst the guys, I was very popular because obviously I was fast, I was good at football, so I was very, you know, popular in school.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to ladies and dating, yeah, I was always like the last pick of guys, okay. Like, you know, like, who's the fittest lad in mm-hmm, school, or who, you know, you have the typical clique of black boys that all the girls wanted to be with.
Yeah.
So I'm never in that group, and you know I was one girl went out with me out of pity, like she was like, oh
no.
So she was like, oh no, because like I never see any girls so interested in you. So I thought let me give you a try. And even now, a lot of women do that as well. Like they'll be like, oh, this is not working. Let me try this, and they use a lot of guys as experiments.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe this is not working. Let me try. Let me try. Like, and you must have heard it. Let me go for a medium ugly guy. You know. So,
I haven't, but okay. I didn't even know that. But yeah.
Yeah, a medium ugly guy.
Anything goes, boy.
So it's like you're not good looking, but then you're not bad. Like you're just bang in the middle.
Yeah.
So. So I think maybe now. So when I now add the option of so many girls, it's like yes, I want to make up for lost time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that, and it can be done. You know, none of us are perfect. So yeah, no. But thanks for sharing. That's really shed some light and. Thank you for, you know, for your bravery to be even able to kind of speak about it so openly and so transparently. So, yeah, thanks, Emmanuel. So I'm going to ask Nicholas, this is your question.
Okay.
One of the questions is, the next question is, I find some Christian men too timid in their approach to women. Why do you think this is? And Ricky's busting up.
My face. <It's...
laughs> I don't even think we're too timid. So I think some men, actually, no, let me say it cool. Some men are too timid. And I think that's just because they aren't used to actually moving to girls. Like, it's a thing where they don't know how to actually approach a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it's a thing where, cool, let me just be their friend. And then eventually they feel that cool, it's going to develop into something else or into something. But I feel that men are intentional. I think a lot of men are intentional and actually know what they want. Certain times people haven't moved because actually they don't want you. And some people have to actually understand that as well. So when it comes to actually us being timid, I don't feel that actually Christian men are timid. I just feel that either they're not ready as well. They're not ready. Or something where they don't want you as well. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. So, like...
I'll give a different perspective on that, yeah? I'm not a church goer. But when I saw the question, I looked at it and thought, maybe they are. I don't actually know. I don't know... You know, I know one guy that goes to church a lot, and he's been with one woman mm-hmm. for a long time. But I suppose I didn't really think about whether they're timid. Maybe they're just thinking more mm-hmm. before they're trying to impose what they want on women. And I think, really, women don't give guys a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, give a man a shine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Give me something. Give me some But I actually feel like I'm not going to walk forward and get destroyed with, hi, move from me. Okay, yes, cool, done. You know what I mean? I go back to one of my friends. He says, listen, we go out, I'll ask 100 girls out, one of them's going to say yeah. And I was always, if I ask one girl, she says no, I'm done for the night. I was giving up. I'm not gonna be moving around and making myself look stupid, because that's just not me. So I think certain guys are trying to find their own way, and maybe girls are expecting too much. Like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Why don't you tell me that you want that? And why don't you make me feel like I'm comfortable enough to do that?
Yeah.
Also, to
add, yeah, go on, Rick.
Can I just add on that point?
So
for me as well, yeah, wow. Exactly that. So when guys aren't ready, it's like girls want to force them to be ready.
Mm.
A guy develops his relationship with Christ, and it's like, okay, yeah, he's in church, he's 6'2", but he just came to church, but still, I want him, so therefore I want to show him that, look, I'm there, so I'll be around him a lot. But this guy's trying to focus on, obviously, his relationship with God, trying to actually develop in his faith, but yet I feel that girls are sometimes impatient and not willing to actually wait, or even actually, not even wait, but actually to look somewhere else. Yeah. I know, obviously, there is a shortage of men in the church, but we have to actually focus on our relationship with God first. When we focus on our relationship with God first and actually understand who we are and our identity, I'm telling you, the right person will come along. I definitely believe that.
Yeah, I agree. I think from my own experience, like, and I think that, you know, with the type of personality that I have, I'm very straight-laced. You know, what you see with me is what you get. And I think that when I encounter a guy that's just like, oh, hi, like, how are you? Like, one-word answers, there's no, like, depth. I'm just like, oh, man, I feel like I'm pulling teeth. And I have acknowledged that I am very black and white. So if I feel like we ain't connecting, and I am a bit bad. If it's like, it could be the first meeting and I feel like you're a bit dry, like, you're not going to get my number, my dear. Like, it's like, do you know what I mean? So I'm just like, oh, man. And I think also it's I definitely agree with what Kyle said, in that I think talking about if they're more thinking about approaching you first, because, you know, like, I know, like, before I became a Christian, like, I could be walking through the market and a man would be like, yo, like, do you know what I mean? But in terms of becoming a Christian, I found that Christian men do take it more seriously, because obviously the end goal is to be married. So if you've both got the same mindset, then you are going to be prayerful and more reflective about your decision making process in relation to that, in relation to that particular individual. So I do think that they are more cautious, or it may be that they present as more cautious or maybe apprehensive, because, you know, in the background they might be praying about it. But then you do get those dudes, I can't lie, guys, I've got to call a spade a spade. You do get them dudes that they're just like, they're dry, man. I'm just like,
let me chime in. Sorry to cut. Let me chat. Quiet for a minute. Listen, like, do you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at the culture of church, yeah, and how it's been cultivated and molded into this very delicate expression, right? So in terms of worshipping, right, you'll be in church and then there's a moment where everybody's very somber and soaking in the presence of God and just enjoying being in the presence and whatever not, right? Then there's this moment where there'd be someone that open their eyes and they might see, you know, let's just say it's Darren from across the room, right? And like, oh, look, he looks so beautiful when he's worshipping God. He's so soft and, oh, it looks amazing. Da, 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 da. So now he's doing this thing. And now, because he's recognized that, and he might like you, but he hasn't said anything, but you've noticed that. And he's noticed that you've noticed that. So now he's thinking, right, she likes that. So I'm going to be soft now. You know, everything, I'm going to be timid. I'm going to be So it's become a cultural development within church that everything needs to be very delicate and very well thought out, and I'm not going to push too hard because, you know, I don't want to offend and all that kind of stuff. And it happens all the time. The problem is that what our understanding of what a man is and how historically he's been a go-getter, he's been a leader, he's been a hunter, that isn't there anymore. Now it's like, okay, I'm not doing these things to be a man. I'm doing these things to appease a woman. And that's different. The mindset is going to be different. You understand? The approach is going to be different. So now I'm going to do the things because I know I can get that. And which is changing, because on the other side of it, when you want that person, him doing those things is good for you. But when you don't want him, or when you want him to act a certain way, him doing those things in terms of like mentally understanding and being very strategic about getting things, it works on the negative because now you want him to be ready for marriage, but all he's trying to do is get close to you, or he's trying to be, quite frankly. And on the flip side, I know personally women that have not even necessarily wanted to be married, but just wanted to have a child. And the easiest way for them to do that and not have their veil of Christendom taken away from them is you get married, you have a child, and then you get divorced. The relationship didn't work out, but you wanted a child. That was what the purpose was. It wasn't about the relationship. And everyone's motives have to be playing out in the first place. And the thing is, a lot of guys are very logical and strategic, and they like play a very specific kind of game. I need to know where this is going, so they'll wait for you to say something. All right, cool, I'm going to respond with this, and then I'm going to do that and see how you respond. It's all very technical, all very thought out. There isn't necessarily a culture or a platform for guys to be themselves, because there's always this expectation. Like, I think it was Nicholas that was saying, guys, they know exactly what they want, but trying to get those things is going to be a little bit more difficult, because women also have their own intentions, their own ideas of what they want the guy to be. So you find yourself compromising what it is you want and who you are and what you want to do to fit the need of somebody else. And if everybody just approaches the thing with their own honest mindset and their own just being real with themselves, I think the result will be a lot different. And so I don't think a lot of church guys that I personally know are not timid, but the church guys that I know, they haven't necessarily grown up in church.
Yeah, great. You know, they come from the world, thank you for that.
So it's a little bit different. I don't know that to be
Brother Ricky just delivered a very good sermon there. And I think what I took from what you said is just what you, one point you made was that women want a man to be a man, yeah? But what a man is nowadays is not what a man is always been. Yeah. Okay, so like you said, hunter-gatherer, provider, I go to work, you stay at home, you look after the kids, you don't say that I should clean up, you don't tell me to be more emotionally available, you don't tell me that I should listen to your feelings, you don't tell me that I need to be in touch with my feelings. But now, us growing up now in this society as a man, we're told that we're the problem in the world, it's men.
Yeah.
So where do I fit in? How does a man fit in now? I've got to be emotionally available, but I've got to man up. I've got to be in touch with my wife's feelings, but I've got to be in charge. I've got to be doing the housework, but then also fight the intruder when he breaks into my house. I'm like, come on, man.
So true.
And roles. So I think when a girl, a woman, wants a man, and they're like, oh, why is it so timid? Be a man. And you're like, I'll be a man, then the next minute, I'm a dog. It's a minefield for men in the moment. And I think I'm quite passionate about, you know, we talk about men's mental health and, you know, the high suicide rates and all this stuff. I think because there's no clearly defined role for men, for men, and we're men, and there's this lad culture. But it's like, I don't know if women actually know what they want from us. And we don't know what side to give. So some guys might be a bit timid because they're thinking, I can't be too upfront. I don't want to impose myself on a woman. I don't want to come across sexist. It's like, the hell, man? Give us a break.
Yeah, I think as a woman, I actually agree with 100%. That point, Carl. So, like, I do. I think we do give you a hard time. Do you know what I mean? I think if you would... if you were speaking to the 25-year-old Selena, I would be saying a lot. I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying now. I think that on my journey, I've definitely grown and, you know, I've got a lot of men in my family. I've got an older brother. And so I know in terms of, you know, I see the struggles of like my uncles and my cousins and stuff like that. And it has framed the way and it's helped me to develop more empathy for men, because I do think that you guys, particularly like, you know, on the topic of like black culture, like black men, you are given a hard time. As you step out of your house, you're up against the enemy. There's so many different enemies out there. And I think that, you know, just touch something that Ricky said earlier in is that, you know, all you want is just a supportive woman, you know, and I think sometimes women hear that and they just think, oh no, I'm not going to be an old man's doormat. You get me? Like, man can't run me. But I think a supportive woman is someone who, you know, waters their man. Like, you are a tree, you are a plant. Like, that's how I kind of see it. And like, we need to water you with love, with encouragement, with affirmation, with patience, with knowing when to kind of like step back and just say, Rod, you know what, he needs his time. Like, he needs his time to figure out whatever it is that he needs to figure out. Like, it's not every day I'm going to be your savior. And I think sometimes as well, us as women, we've got that savior complex, because we're just like, let me show you. I know for me, I'm going to expose myself. Like, I felt like if I can show you how good of a woman I am, then I will definitely secure the bag. Like, if I can show you that I can rescue you from like whatever situation that you're in, like I'm definitely going to win it. And it guts me like a fish when the man just is like, nah, I'm done now, isn't it? Like, he's gone. And I've just learned from that it's not about pressurizing you to be a version in my head, a version of you in my head. I need to allow you, for Selena Paris, like, yeah, if I'm on this fearlessly free journey, I need to allow you to be fearlessly free yourself. Like, this is not just for me. Like, you need to carve out your own path, your own manhood, and allow you to make the mistakes, to grow, the successes, the achievements, the highs and the lows, and support you with that. To support all of that. And I think that, you know, us as women, we do give you a lot of flack because it's like, why can't you just get it together? But I think that we need to be realistic with ourselves and recognise that we're not going to meet a man that's altogether lovely, because we ourselves are not altogether lovely. We ain't got it all together. And I think that, you know, I think we do give guys, in terms of just going back to this particular question, like, I think we do give guides at the initial stages, like, of getting to know each other. Like, we do give you a hard time. Like, if you're not ticking all the boxes within the first week of us communicating, then you're gone. And it's like, and I think even from a Christian perspective, like, God ain't even like that with us. Like, so how dare we, like, be like that with his children? Like, do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah. But can I chip into that, though?
Yeah, 100%.
But I feel down to that, yeah, it's down to social media. And I'm a strong believer, you know. People could try and change my mind, whatever, but I'm a strong believer that social media has ruined a lot of relationships. It's ruined how people view life or what their concept of dating is. And for me, there was a phase where I was into my older women because I genuinely thought I was born in the wrong generation. Like, gone are the days now, yeah, you can go to a woman and be like, yo, I like you, let's get to know each other, and boom, boom, boom. There's a lot of game playing now. And it just becomes so long, and then women are like, men are trash, women are trash, this and this. But no one wants to actually sit down and call a spade a spade. A girl can like a man, and she will not say nothing because it's like, if I tell him I like him now, he's gonna start acting up and this and this and whatnot.
So true.
And then, and a man will be like, oh, I like this girl, yeah, but like, I'm not getting the vibe that if she likes me back. And you have two people that like each other, but no one wants to say because of the fear of I don't know what to call it, but it's just, but I don't know, like, I just find it so difficult. And like, for me, yeah, it's just, like, if people were just to be straight up and be honest with each other, and it links back to the whole stating what your intention is, hold yourself accountable. Like, all of these things, they're all linked. When you look at it, they all link with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can hold yourself accountable, that means, yeah, you'll be straightforward with your intention because you know what you're about and what you're for. And if you could do that, yeah, you can communicate. Mm-hmm. Because in order to state your intention, in order to hold yourself accountable, you need to communicate. So if you could do all them three, like, you know, you're moving in the right steps. But I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of game playing, and I even asked, this is to you, you know, would you ever like move to a man? Not move to a man. I feel like, oh, me and you, I like you. We're going to be together. But like, put yourself in a position where the man knows that you are available or you're interested.
I've done that. I'm that girl. Like, you know, like that. I will make it known, my brother. You know, like, I don't believe in this whole... And that's the thing, I don't know. Maybe I've got to wait on the guy to tell me. Because I'm also... And I don't know, I think maybe... So, yeah, I don't believe in... I don't believe in not making my feelings known. I think that I'm the kind of girl that I will... answer, I will basically let you know how I'm feeling, because sometimes it may well be that you might be a bit shy, you might not be able to read my non-verbal messages to you, so I'm going to be like, hey boo, you know, like that. So I'm going to let you know in Jesus' name. So, like, but yeah, like, I will let you know. And I've my mum is very, like, traditional, and she's very much like, oh, Sina, you know, you've got to wait on the man and so on and so forth. I'm like, bun that, because life is too short. And I don't see it as me being forceful. It's not in a forceful way. I will just have a conversation with you and be like, you know, I actually have feelings for you, and I would like to find out, like, you know, if that's reciprocated. If it is, then let's proceed. But do you know what I mean? If it's if it's not, then at least I've had that conversation. But I really do agree with what Emmanuel said. I think there is a lot of gameplay in this whole thing of, oh no, don't text him first, wait for him to text you, don't wait for him to call. There's too much, like, red tape. Like, be free. Do you know what I mean? Communicate. I think a lot of things go, I think particularly like in the whole dating, getting to know each other stages, I think that is like that's a crucial time for you to kind of like find out whether you do want to take it to the next step. So you ain't got time to be playing games, working out, you know, waiting 3 minutes to respond, don't open the WhatsApp, don't blue tick it, oh no, he's going to see that you read it. Like, it's long, like... It's a lot.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So,
I hear that.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Say that again, Riggs.
I got a question, though. Does the dating thing work?
In what sense? Elaborate. What do you mean?
Does the dating thing, does it work?
Because,
like, the way I see it, when you're dating someone, you're putting your best foot forward, right? So you're basically going above and beyond everything that you would naturally normally do. So there's not going to be any chill time. So when that stuff stops, you're like, oh, he changed. No, he didn't change. He was basically giving you the best thing that he could do in order to get your attention and keep your attention. But you can't expect a man to keep it on Valentine's Day every single day kind of level. Where some days, like, he's just trying to chill and play some PlayStation. Let the man chill.
Now, what are you going to do now? I'm saying, from day one, I'm just me with my wife. We were just real. Our dates could be going to the museum, going to the library. For me, it's all the chat, it's the content, it's trying to figure out someone's morals, the differences. I might like something, you might not like something, but we can still relate to something or debate about it. If we can't, we've got to keep it moving.
Mm.
But to go back to what someone said about social media, it just makes the world even more superficial than it already was. Mm. Like, in the work job that I do, kids look on social media and see everyone stunting. This whole, look, my food. Look at me on flight.
Yeah.
This is me going there. Where's the, I woke up today, I'm not really feeling that good about myself, or I didn't leave the house today because I'm feeling anxious, or let's talk about some real stuff. But I literally, someone sent me a link to Tory Lanez's quarantine registry, and I went on, I watched it for about 20 minutes, and literally went back to the days of the old school music videos of like Ludacris, Dre, Snoop. It was literally all these fops, and fops is that hoe over there, just literally twerking, getting likes, getting views, and I'm like, guys are looking at it thinking, I want her. If you got her, you would not let her do what she's doing now, the reason why you want her. Yeah, you might have her for a little bit. You're not marrying her. I'm not talking bring her home. Oh, I've seen your girl. Shut up, bro. She's different now. I don't know about that. Honestly. Not so social media is not helping out these fakers. But then women, the same way. You want a guy who's got a nice car, nice house, nice job. He's got nice money. Fun that. Bring your own car. Bring your own money. Let's meet halfway.
Yeah, man. I think it was Rick Ross that was saying, was it women use their bodies to attract guys, and guys use money to attract the women,
but not
them for that specific thing. And like, women don't want to be objectified, and guys don't want to be, be used by gold diggers. So it's just that's the same ties into my point before. Like, the whole thing of putting your best foot forward and being something that you're not. And like what you were saying about the Instagram thing, a lot of people are out there stunting and not being themselves, they're not being real. When someone that likes that kind of thing comes along, you're like, they're using me for this, that, and the third.
Yeah,
well, you put that out there. That's your business.
Also, though, I also think even in Christendom, in Christianity, when someone, you can't get to know a person, it's like, cool, as soon as I take you on a date, we're dating. I honestly want to know who you are, what you're about, exactly your morals. Right. Yeah, what's your walk with God saying? You understand? So, but I feel that a lot of these girls, it's like, oh my days, I went out with him, so we've been going out for like just a week. Relax.
Anniversary.
Yeah, 7 days
now.
Honestly, 3 months down the line. Where's my ring?
I have a question though. Everyone. But what's your definition of dating though? I feel like everyone has their own definition, and I feel like that's where you have to kind of like make sure that you're on the same
wavelength.
Can I
answer that?
That's all for now, guys. This discussion will be continued in the final installment that will be out to you in 2 days' time. Until then, stay fearlessly free. Bye-bye.